Welcome back to the Vinyl Word Podcast. As always, I'm Steve Beach.
And I'm Brian Mayer. Hello.
We are in our beautiful Greenwood Library studio, as we have been for a while. We are here again.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Greenwood Public Library.
Yes, exactly. Again, just want to thank everybody for continuing to listen and subscribe and all that good stuff. And just want to remind you to do that because, as we always talk about, we try to put these out on a regular basis, but we don't because we have lives.
Yes, we do. And I want to thank everyone for listening personally because I know that I can be emotionally exhausting. And I just want you to know that I appreciate it.
You're fine. You know, our episodes, I was thinking today, is kind of like ordering something from Temu or Wish. Like you order it and it takes so long, but when you come in, you're like, oh yeah, there's that podcast that I listened to.
Yeah.
And then you get a notification and you go, oh yeah, the Vinyl Word.
And much like Temu, like there's that excitement followed immediately by disappointment.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh yeah, I ordered this.
Oh yeah, I subscribed to this piece of crap. But before we get rolling, let's check in with our friend Charlie Cutler.
It seems to me that, oh, hello, this is Charlie Cutler.
Hello.
Let's just talk for a couple of minutes. It seems to me that every small town has somebody in it who looks like somebody else.
Because
now,
they're all inbred.
We used to have an old fellow in our town who was
Steve,
a dead ringer for
that's
Mark
not nice.
Twain. His face was about the
His
same.
Name was Samuel Longhorn Clemens.
And his haircut. And after a while, he even started to dress the same. Buzz Potter.
Then
was
he started
name,
talking the same.
He had the name of Buzz because he used to work in a sawmill.
His favorite movie was The Talented
well, anyway,
Mr. Ripley.
Yeah,
followed by
Twain,
single white female.
Buzz, and he's smarter than he'd ever been. But
he was
so
later diagnosed with multiple personality disorder.
Like Mark Twain that he finally got
no,
to thinking,
he was just a sociopath.
He was, he'd sit around on the porch of the hotel in his white suit.
Curled up like a dog.
Chair. And all the strangers that came to town would rush up to him and, oh,
and laugh at him.
Throw rocks.
And old Buzz would just eat it up. He loved
literally
pretending to
he
be
was
Mark
insane.
Twain. In fact, it was his entire career. Once in a while, though,
he made a living of sitting on the steps.
Really be fooled and
his
try to get him into a conversation about his books.
What?
And then
concrete
Buzz would have
sitting?
To pretend he wasn't feeling well and he'd go into the hotel and
I'm sure he wasn't feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are plenty of people around who are pretending to be what they're not. And they and we would be a whole lot happier if they'd only be themselves. Which are you? That's something worth considering, isn't it?
No.
Charlie Cutler. Like, what do you want to bet that somebody called him Chuck Cutlets?
Probably. And he was like, that's not right. I'll make up a story about Mark Twain.
Right.
Some fictitious guy. Yeah. All these stories are in small towns. They're never like, have you ever been in the big city? You ever been to the Empire State Building? It's always like, there's a small town. There's a tractor. There's a guy that raises all kinds of animals.
Charlie's probably never seen anything taller than a church steeple.
Right. Probably. Probably.
All right. Well, Steve, do you want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to be listening to?
Yeah, we are continuing on The Singing Lady, and we're a little – I thought of this today, too. Many things I thought of today. So we're a little, like, delayed because the first one was Abraham Lincoln. This is George Washington. We're just missing, you know, President's Day, which is back in February.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of just a little delayed, but we're kind of picking up that little motive, I guess, season, holiday, whatever you want to call it. So today
– I think you're attributing way too much intelligence and forethought to what it is that we are doing here.
I'm just trying to have a purpose. That's all I'm going after here.
Okay. Look past this is all I'm saying to you.
Okay. All right. Will do. So today we're talking about George Washington based on all true facts,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
100% correct. We know – that people sang a very specific birthday song at his party because historians
yes.
were there and documented
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly. We know all this stuff is true. With that, let's drop the needle.
All righty.
I hate opera.
The end.
Once upon a time,
darn.
It was the afternoon of February 22nd. In 1744,
I think she's making those dates up.
12th
Maybe.
Birthday 17 of George Washington.
Something?
He was riding his pony in the forest near his home.
Or was the pony riding him?
River
I can't remember.
Virginia. At home, his mother, his younger brothers and sisters,
and cousins and aunts
anxiously.
And a local wino.
They had prepared a birthday surprise. Charles, John, and Samuel watched
Netflix.
At the window. Oh. Betty and Mildred ran in and out of the big kitchen, trying to help ice the cake
and milk the cow.
For George at the same time. Suddenly, Betty began to shout,
"He's
coming! It's George! I see his pony! Look, Charles! Oh, that is not a pony.
He just
it
has a
deer.
Really big goiter.
Isn't it, John? Yep, that is a deer. Where Betty and Mildred are looking. But George is coming, all right. See, Betty?
Use your Betty Davis eyes.
Come on, everybody. Let's hide. And then
do the locomotion.
When he gets inside. Oh, you sing it, Betty. Shh, quiet.
It's weird.
He's coming.
Yeah.
Hello? Where's everybody? Surprise!
Well, Steve, why do they sound like they're at the bottom of a well?
Maybe they are.
George. Happy birthday to
Wait,
George.
This isn't the right song.
Oh, I know. The real song didn't come around until around 1893.
That's a stupid reason to maintain historical accuracy, buddy.
Each and every birthday. Thank you. I forgot it was my birthday.
You know, I do have a concussion
so
from that cherry tree.
Surveying today. And then we wrote
I can't
to
tell a lie because I don't know what one is.
Right. Not something special. What, George? Tell us. Well, you know, Betty.
When
I
a strange man asked to show you something special,
whoa,
you
oh,
never
whoa.
British Ship of War. It's
not
you.
That kind
no.
of very special episode,
Ian
buddy.
Harper. So, I thought maybe Lawrence had found out whether I was accepted or not. George, do you mean you might go to sea now? Right away?
He might be a seaman?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, then, come on.
Today.
We have to have the birthday games for the celebration right this minute. Come on now, everybody. The first game, coins. All right, here we go.
The game is coins?
Tossing the ring is a game that we love.
Isn't that the game you play if you get
like
a divorce?
At the end, yes.
Up above, throwing the ring till the stick is within.
Whoa, that's a
every
very different game.
Yes, it is.
Hit it, you'll win. Johnny won that one.
Poor Johnny.
Tug of war. Tug of war is lots of fun. It's a game for everyone.
Tie first your fat to friend to the end of the line.
Pull until one side will win. Oh, George, your side
George.
Won. All right, yep. Now there's just one more. Roundabout.
Oh,
here we go.
Isn't that the game
together.
Where a car pulls up to the circle,
first
makes a complete stop and backs up
and
traffic,
ring,
and then people honk at them, forcing them to go through the circle?
Yes,
sing.
That is exactly the game of Roundabout, the way it's played now.
Out.
Yeah, I hate that game.
Then we again go roundabout.
Honk, honk.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought I heard a horse coming.
You all right, Brian?
Really do want to go to
yeah, I'm good.
Yes, I do, Betty.
Oh, what is it that they call men who go off to sea, Brian?
Well, they're called seamen.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Before
yeah.
I was 6 years old. It was the first time I ever saw a boat like that. I walked all around the deck.
Killed
the
man.
I was a sailor and belonged on the boat. And I'll never forget the wonderful feeling. Lawrence understands. He helped me to fill out the application. He understands.
You know Lawrence.
Better than women. You know.
And we're all okay with that?
Oh, I don't know.
Want you to go.
No, no, she doesn't. She's
doesn't.
Met Lawrence.
Right.
When will you know about it, George? Any minute, Betty. Whenever the messenger gets here.
Oh no.
Coming now.
It's Dick Dastardly, George's arch enemy.
Henry. I know. Excuse me, Master George. This letter just came, and it's for you. Thank you, Henry.
My name is Bob, but whatever.
Listen, everybody. It says, my dear Mr. Washington. Mr.
I'm so drunk.
Your application is in good order. You will be summoned for active duty aboard ship any minute.
It's the good ship lollipop.
Your personal belongings delivered to the ship at once. Here's respectfully, George, how wonderful.
That letter smells like lilac. Henry can so take pretty.
As soon as they're ready. Oh, they're already now, but... Oh. Oh, Mother. Happy birthday, son.
You're dead to me.
Thank you. George, please. You must not go.
In the worst way.
We all need you here at home. You're still very young.
It's a little Kung Pao reference for everybody out there.
See? Please. Please, send word you've changed your mind. But I haven't, Mother.
Quit pushing me.
True. I couldn't change my mind about wanting to go
Would
to
you
see.
Get off my back? I'm 12.
Look, the messenger's coming now. See, through the window.
With my telescope?
Please, George. I'm sorry, Mother. I have to go welcome the officer. How do you do, sir?
Here, hold
Come
my
in,
pants.
Sir. We were expecting you. These are my brothers and sisters. They're giving me a birthday celebration.
That's why I'm in my birthday suit.
My mother will be back right away in just a minute.
Oh, I see. It is your 12th birthday, lad. If I count the candles correctly.
Yes, sir. I'm growing up.
Yes, indeed.
I haven't hit puberty yet.
Oh, I know.
Though I must confess... We have had apprentice seamen even younger. And I dare say
Steve.
You're old enough to make a good sailor.
Yep.
And learn to do your duty.
What is a sailor's duty, sir?
To please his master and commander.
She is always asking questions like that.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, Betty, it is quite simple, really, though a bit hard to
That's what she
explain.
Said.
Principally, a duty aboard ship means to follow orders immediately. Orders given by superior officer, no matter how difficult.
Or uncomfortable.
Oh? What's a superior officer?
One in higher command. One with experience.
What is experience?
Like a teacher
what is
with
higher? What is teacher? What
children?
Is question?
Yes, yes. Daddy.
No.
Well, Betty is quite right, George, yes. Parents and teachers generally know what is best for young children, as the superior officer knows about his crew. Because
George,
they have already
do you like
learned,
movies about gladiators?
Just starting out to learn. So our loyalties must belong to the superior officer, whether he be admiral, lieutenant, parent, or teacher.
Oh, lover.
But,
wait,
sir,
who said
what
that?
About courage and bravery? Aren't they important?
Oh, yes, yes, very, very. Sometimes misunderstood, however. Giving up something we ourselves want for the sake of duty is far more difficult than facing physical danger. Sometimes little things take great courage. Little things, sir?
I'm not saying
nothing,
Steve.
Things, such as admitting you are wrong, telling
or not sleeping until noon on a Saturday.
Giving up something you want very much to fulfill a duty or please others.
I see.
Do you want to be filled
Thank
with
you,
duty, George?
You've cleared
Gross.
Up a great many things.
Gross.
Sorry, sir. I shall not be able to return to the ship with you after all. You have made me realize I...
How strange of a man you are.
Oh, I get that a lot.
I hope I've not caused you too much trouble.
My dear boy, you have caused me no trouble at all. I had heard something of your problem, and I understand the sacrifice you make. I shall never forget you.
Now that is a weird thing to say to a 12-year-old boy, Steve.
Yes, it is. Very strange.
George, wasn't he noble? Yes, Betty. He was. Mother, George didn't go. George is staying
my
home.
My boy George.
Yes, Mother.
Come a chameleon.
I changed my mind. I just didn't want to go.
He used the words
son.
Like mama's boy.
I know.
Something about
why you
apron
didn't
strings.
Go. The officer told me. He said you were a hero, George.
In
truly
his mind.
Honest and brave. Honest and brave? That is what Father said to me one time. Always be
Once.
Honest and brave. I never forgot it.
He also said ducks cause cancer,
always.
And one day our country would be a representative democracy.
He
was
to bed.
Crazy.
Has a lot to do tomorrow, all right. Suddenly, Betty began to laugh and sing. Hurrah!
And throw darts.
For George! Hurrah for George, we say. We're glad he didn't go away. hurrah for George, because he did not go.
The singing lady,
we're glad
everyone.
That he is going to stay because we love him so. And that is a true boyhood story.
Liar.
George Washington, and how he gave up his dream of going to sea. If George Washington had gone to sea on a British ship that day,
we might all be Brits today, eating scones
with terrible teeth.
His whole life would have been entirely different. As well,
he's saying top of the morning to you.
Our country. To think that one little incident in the life of a boy can change the history of the world is quite worth remembering, for it proves that nothing we do is unimportant. Everything we do is worth doing well, in the right way.
Thank you, Mary Poppins.
Yes. Yeah, it's also important to sing about everything that you do as well.
Right, and to invite strange British men to your house, to your 12th birthday party,
yes.
Who wants to, like, take you back to your boat and
right.
just be your commanding officer.
Right. The day he turns 12 is the day the general should show up and take you to sea.
Yeah, that's the day George became a man.
Right. Happy birthday, George.
Yeah, like, yeah, listening to that, it was just so weird.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They could have talked about him crossing the Potomac.
Right.
They could have talked about him, you know, at any of the battles. They could have talked about how he was president first
right.
and voluntarily
right.
gave up the presidency,
right.
which was unheard of in the history
correct.
Of the world.
Yeah.
And instead they picked a story
that was totally made up.
Yeah.
And this was a true story. Nope.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
No, not at all. It's like, if anything, I just sincerely hope Lawrence wasn't real.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah. Even if you don't read into the story, yeah, just the storyline itself. I mean, the guy coming to pick up a 12-year-old.
Yep.
I mean, I know things were different way back then as far as, you know, what they considered an adult. But still, 12?
Yeah.
12?
Yeah.
Kid hasn't even hit puberty.
I know.
And he's going off to fight in a war.
George Washington was an interesting guy. You know, like everybody knows the wooden teeth. But did you know that he was basically addicted to ice cream?
No.
Yeah.
Please tell.
No.
Is this one of those stories from the singing lady that she made up?
No. No. this is an
okay.
actual thing.
Okay.
No, like he had rotten teeth. And so like the wooden teeth was a real thing. And
okay.
it hurt to eat anything. So ice cream was soft and it was cold. And so he was able to eat it. But ice cream was incredibly difficult to come by because refrigeration wasn't really a thing.
Right.
But root cellars were. And you could cut bricks of ice out of the river. And then
oh,
you could put
true.
Those into the root cellar and you could make ice cream down there. And so he did that so that he could have ice cream all the year round. And they actually have his records from his estate that show how much money he spent
on ice cream
and converted to modern money. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars
oh
a
my
year.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It's almost the today's equivalent of how much, you know, a young adolescent boy spends on Cheetos every year.
Mm-hmm.
On Cheetos and video games all day long.
Those were the days.
Right, exactly.
All right, so Steve, after we finish with Washington, do we have any other singing lady presidents that we are going to visit? Like, are we going to delve into the history of William Howard Taft?
Sure, exactly.
Or James Andrew Garfield?
Right, exactly. Actually, I do have one more on this. It's about Ben Franklin, who was not president.
Right. But yeah, it makes total sense then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for the same reason he appears on Money too.
Right. So are we going to, I'm assuming they're going to do a story about when he was an ambassador to France?
Probably not.
Okay.
It'd probably be when he was playing with a slingshot with his friends by the river.
Maybe it's just him like drawing like in the mud with a stick
right.
for like an hour.
Right.
And that's the story. And they're right. like, and this was important.
Yeah. And Ben Franklin drew a picture of the first engine.
He created bifocals that day as a 9-year-old.
Right, exactly. Which was also a true story. Of course.
Oh, so, these records, buddy.
I know.
I just can't believe, I know we've talked about it. I just can't believe how deep the well goes.
I know. Do you want to share a gift that you recently got for your birthday from your son?
Oh, sure. My son, who knows me well, bought me a record that we're going to have to listen to and see about the show, but it's called The Champion Liar and Other Stories for Children.
Just the name alone sounds interesting.
Well, the Champion Liar honestly sounds like a modern band.
Yeah, it does.
You know, like we saw the Champion Liar at Hi-Fi. Man, they were good.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's like, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, kind of finishing out The Singing Lady. She's beginning to wear on me a little bit, though. I ain't going to lie.
I understand. Yeah. And so that's a good reason why we decided to not do side two.
Well, that and the racist part. Yeah. But yeah. Yes, I agree with both.
That too. But yeah. So I think it worked out better putting it into three parts so we're not so going nuts after listening to an entire side at once.
She would be insufferable.
Right.
If we had to listen to the whole thing.
Halfway through the podcast. Okay, we're stopping here.
No, it would, to me, it would be the scene from Billy Madison where it's just like, you know, like I am now dumber for having listened to all of this.
Yes. Yes. It would be that exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for continuing to listen and continue to tell your friends and neighbors about our podcast.
Yeah, and tell your enemies, too. I don't care.
Yeah, just anybody.
No, and Steve, as we sign off, I just want to remind people, not all records should be collected. Thank you.